One day, I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back.
Oh, my word.
Tear?
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Why do I always let my curiosity get the better of me?
It seems on a moment too soon.
I'm not the professor. I'm a doctor.
I have a feeling we're already too late.
Don't sit up that.
Why not?
Because it's not a chair. It's the most dangerous weapon in the universe.
Run for your life.
It's been a long time since I've been so low to you.
Pop falls out of the sky, man falls out of the box, man eats fish custard.
Everybody, just shut up.
And what is this display, now as amusing as you are?
Shut up, just shut up, shut up, shut up, shut it up, up, up.
This is it. This is the TARDIS blend that you've been waiting for all season. The first review for part one of the season finale of Doctor Who. This is TARDIS blend, episode 82. My name is Greg Davies, coming to you from geeksofdoom.com, and I'm here with...
5 out of 5, Tom.
I knew you couldn't wait for it. I'll get to my rating in a second, but I've got to say, off the bat, for this particular episode called Dark Water... part one of the finale for Doctor Who Series 8. I watched it with my stepdaughter, Kaylin. We were both watching it, and we squirted out a few tears. We gasped at certain moments. We applauded. When the big reveal came, we pumped our fists in the air, and wah! You know, it was just exactly the way a classic Doctor Who should be, just getting those reactions out there. And I'm with you, Tom, 5 out of 5.
This is the first one in a very long time.
For you, yeah, I've had a couple of fives, but
no,
you...
No, for both of us.
Yeah, well, for both of us, yeah.
We haven't given a 10. I can't remember the last time we gave it 10.
It was difficult for me to rate, though, to give it a 5. I mean, from a fan perspective, 5 out of 5, no doubt. But usually with my rating, I try and give it a rating that indicates that this is one... Doctor Who episode that a newbie could jump into, and I'm not so sure whether they could with this one, because there was a lot of prerequisites of a backstory needed for certain things to make sense, like Clara's reaction at the beginning of the episode and so on and so forth. But Capaldi's performance and Michelle Gomez's performance, I'm sorry, just and with the writing and the direction so brilliantly paced, 5 out of 5. It has to get a 5. There's no doubt in my mind. It was a fantastic episode.
Let's talk about the things we didn't like, because there's honestly there wasn't that many of them. There was only one that I could count.
I really didn't have anything I didn't like. So why don't you go ahead?
The only thing that I did not like was towards the end when they were kind of, "I love you, I love you." I was like, "This just wasn't really working for me." Like I like the payoff. I thought the payoff was awesome. I just was like, just you're killing me. It was the only thing that I could do, and it's only because I felt like that particular beginning of that scene just drug on way too long. If he had just said the "I love you" and then they would have gone into it,
yeah,
and she'd have hung up, I felt like it would have been more powerful. And the only reason I'm even saying anything is because that's the only thing I could find in this episode that I didn't like. That's it.
Yeah, and that's really, now that I'm thinking about it, it's
nitpicky.
Really a really minor grudge, really, when you think about
it's a very nitpicky thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost tiny. I mean, I try to look for technical things as well in addition to that, but I really couldn't. I thought it was really well executed. People, I'm going to warn you now, we're going to talk spoilers. So if you haven't seen this episode yet and you haven't gotten to the Missy part, turn off now, watch the episode, come back, okay? So we're going to talk about Missy. The Missy reveal, absolutely excellent, flawlessly done. Michelle Gomez was absolutely fantastic. I loved her. Her acting went hand in hand with all of the Moffat misdirection. I thought it was really well executed. And I do want to highlight, Tom, all the way back from our very first episode of TARDIS Blend for this season, for the debut episode of Peter Capaldi, Andy Cercini was on the show, and he fucking called it.
Did he?
Episode one.
I can't remember.
He said, Missy, Mistress, Master. He called it from the very beginning.
Yeah, it was so, right there.
Yeah, so...
totally right there.
Yeah, so Andy, congratulations. You jumped straight to the obvious that Moffat had put out there. Being one of the Whovians, I tend to focus too much on the misdirection, but you were right there. You got right into it. You knew what it was, so congratulations to you. You've got bragging rights. I believe he even texted me to say that he was right. So, well done
sounds
to you,
like Andy.
Yeah. What do you think of the Missy reveal? What do you think? What do you think of the female having a female master? I think it's great.
I love it. But yeah. You know what I would have also liked? I kind of was struggling this back and forth. I'm like, I love that was the thing that made me go, okay, pause, reflect. That was awesome. Unpause and then just finish the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that I was just like, this is an awesome episode. But I would have gone back and said, I would have liked to see somebody else from the Doctor's past, another Whovian.
Yeah, that's true. Although I did some thinking about this, and really, the Master is the most obvious from the Doctor's past. That's going to get that fist bump in the air.
He is supposed to be the Venom to Spider-Man. You know, but nobody knows him. I feel like it's been so long since we saw him.
Not as long as some of the others. I mean, some
we
of the others.
Seen him. He skipped an entire Doctor.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that in a minute because not necessarily. We'll get to that a little bit in a minute. But I want to talk about before the revelation. I want to talk a little bit about Moffat's misdirection. I thought this was really well done. Before that revelation in the last third of the episode, where, you know, Missy reveals herself to be the female incarnation of the Master, there were lots of things going on. I mean, I still believe that there was some kind of connection with Clara up until some points in the episode. For example, Missy said, I'm the one you left behind, just before her revelation. And I thought, well, maybe she's Susan, the Doctor's granddaughter from the first Doctor. Because he did abandon her, technically speaking. But then I thought about that kiss, and that would have been very awkward. So then I thought maybe it's Susan's grandmother. with the kiss,
it was just some evil Time Lord that he had traveled. I thought, for who was the...
The Rani? Oh, the Romani, you mean?
Who was it?
The companion? Romana.
Romana,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was a couple of people that thought it was Romana too, because...
I'm really glad it's not.
Yeah, same here.
My favorite companion.
Yeah, because Kanon had called her Mistress.
Yes.
But, that was a bit of a stretch. So there were a lot of different possibilities out there. But honestly, I mean, going for the most obvious one with the Master, or in this case, Missy, I just think it was a really good call. And Moffat, of course, rule number one about Moffat, he lies. He said at the beginning of this season during an interview that the Master is not coming back. So we can't trust a word he says, and I'm glad that we can't.
The Master didn't come back. The Mistress came back.
Well, no, it is the Master. It's still the same alien being. It's just
undergoing
a different name.
Yeah, but if you want to go wordplay...
Yeah, I suppose
He didn't entirely lie.
Well, it is Moffat. So we were partially right about Evil Clara, but only at the beginning of the episode during that dream state, which I thought was really... quite interesting. For a little bit there, I was being strung along. I did fully believe that they were actually at the volcano. So that was really well done. The Matrix, which is the Nethersphere.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this because this Matrix technology was first seen in Tom Baker's episode The Deadly Assassin in 1976. So this is there's a lot of callbacks to old Who, classic Who, in this particular episode. And the other one with the Cybermen marching out of St. Paul's Cathedral, that's a direct callback to Patrick Troughton's episode, The Invasion, in 1968, where the Cybermen did the exact same thing. They were marching out of St. Paul's Cathedral down those stairs.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you know, like, this one is just, it doesn't quite make up for that one really bad episode.
Robin Hood.
No. I'm talking about with the Cybermen.
Oh, the one with Craig.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It's just the worst. It was just such a throwaway episode to use on such a good villain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cheapened the crap out of it. And we even got a really good Neil Gaiman episode out of it. And I still didn't feel redeemed. And this one was cool.
Well, we haven't really seen the full
flight
of the Cybermen, so to speak.
But it's such a brilliant plan.
Oh, I know. I put that down in my notes, too. I had to write down the complexity of Missy's plan. I mean, because obviously dead bodies don't make great Cybermen.
So, yeah, like, you know, I really hope for the sake of clarity that, you know, at the beginning when the guy tuned in and said, yes, people are conscious when they die, you know, and their bodies are, you know, in their... And I was like, I hope that ends up being like just a lie or
yeah, something. It is because
some crap that they made up to convince their story. Because I'm like,
yeah, the whole thing about the Matrix can do anything. It can, you know, manifest. You know, whoever's in control of the Matrix can manifest
the same technology that the library.
Well, similar. It is a virtual reality deal. But this this is specifically Time Lord technology.
See, I thought the library was as well.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That was human technology. But the Time Lord technology, the Matrix slice that the Doctor highlighted in this particular episode, it is virtual reality, but it can be controlled and altered, and the consciousnesses that are within the Matrix, you could basically allow them or make them feel certain things. So, you know, Missy, in the Missy Matrix, they're forcing all these fake emotions and fake physical pain, as in the cremation burnings, to get them to consent to delete themselves. They are voluntarily becoming Cybermen. I think this is the first time we've ever seen that, because the Cybermen have previously done forceful upgrades. And how great was the dark water and those creepy moving skeletons in the tombs?
I liked that at first. I was like, yeah, that's kind of stupid. And then, like, as it went on, and I didn't quite put the pieces together. I was still looking at the dude, and he's like, it only absorbs organic tissue with this invisible liquid. And I was like, wait, dude, so your suit is completely polyester? No, come on. It's come on. Like, it was such a stupid thing, you know? But I'm just like, come on, man. You had it almost all the way there. Just roll up your sleeve.
Let's talk a little bit about Peter Capaldi. I think this was his episode. His episode. He shined totally in this episode. And I have to say, and this may be a bold call on my part, but Peter Capaldi, at this point, by the end of his first season, he's the best Doctor out of New Who. No doubt in my mind.
I don't know.
That's my piece. Just his lines about betrayal to Clara. That was perfect, Doctor Who.
I definitely think that there's a lot of potential there for him.
Yeah. Oh, he's just getting started, obviously. The other thing I liked, the psychic paper nod to Malcolm Tucker. What's all this swearing? Did you catch that? That was really good. And I also loved the idea that Steve Jobs is now a Cyberman being controlled by an iPad.
Oh, I think that was a joke.
I know it's a joke, but I love it.
I mean, I think it was a joke because, like, obviously they don't need Steve Jobs as, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, I know.
There's Cyberman, I would like to think, in this world, like, Steve Jobs, he's just like... on a completely different plane.
Will you please stop ruining my moment? I had this great line of like, I love the idea that Steve Jobs is a Cyberman controlled by an iPad, and you're just analyzing it.
I can't. It would just be like another dude. That's how badass the Cybermen are.
Oh, yeah. A couple of notable Easter eggs in this episode as well. I want to talk about Clara's shelf in her house at the beginning of the episode. A couple of fans, you know, very observant fans, they pointed out that Clara's hyperspace prize from the BBC Proms is on her shelf. That was really well caught. We're going to come back to her shelf in a minute. And the other thing was, one of the TARDIS keys was hidden in a novel, and that novel was The Time Traveler's Wife, which I thought was a nice little, a nice little touch.
So, to me, Missy sounded British, correct?
Yeah.
She's not. Like, her, the actress is Scottish.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm looking at her.
I did not know that.
How awesome would it have been to have not only like a female master, but like a Scottish female master?
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I kind of feel like, oh, you guys wasted a perfect
although that would have deflated that line at the end where she's talking about a mad Scotsman ranting about a match in the middle of the streets. That would have been,
I think it still would apply.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
You know?
The last shot. A little
more value. Like, she would know.
Last shot of the episode. Scott. Last shot of the episode. We have a image of Danny Pink in the Matrix, and he's holding the iPad in his hands with the delete key. This very last shot, and I don't know if you caught this, Tom.
Oh, that creepy child.
The kid was in the background. Yes, the reflection. A lot of people didn't catch this on the first viewing, but it's there. So there we go. Now, Tom, I'm going to share a link with you in the back-end chat here so that you can see what I'm about to talk about. But you may recall, in The Day of the Doctor, there's this scene where the Doctors and Clara insert themselves into the big Gallifreyan 3D painting to break out of it into the Black Archive, and so they can confront the Zygons and UNIT. And there's this big scene where they smash through there with the Dalek, and the three Doctors do their big slow motion walk. And then the next scene we see is Clara climbing out of the painting. And I always thought to myself when I saw, whenever I watched that episode, and I was like, that's really weird. Like, the position of her hand just doesn't look to be humanly possible. It's just like really strange. And I didn't really think about it too much until a fan spotted this and basically said, this is probably how Missy exited Gallifrey and entered Earth. But this may also indicate, if that is the case, and it turns out to be true, that there's something more to this painting and the current location of Gallifrey as well.
Yes.
So, possibly. Yeah, so there's that. Another thing I noted, the 3W mausoleum being inside St. Paul's, I'm getting the feeling, I think that's actually Missy's TARDIS, maybe? Possibly? Don't know. Not sure about that.
No, I think this is... She doesn't have a TARDIS.
Maybe.
I would really like her to have a TARDIS.
Yeah.
I mean, I would really like her to go back to that junkyard planet that Neil Gaiman created and rummage around for some crazy...
That's a plausible explanation. Or yeah, something. That's a plausible explanation, absolutely. So who knows? I mean, it could possibly be. I mean, I'm sure there's a backstory to it, but if not, Moffat will come
along. Man, I was just so happy with this episode.
Yeah, same here.
Seriously.
Okay, I've got some probably not true, but fun speculation. Just some random thoughts. This is probably not true at all, but I wrote this down because it just came to mind, and I thought it was a little weird that it did. Because a lot of people have been talking about the Valyard. The Valyard, the Valyard, the Valyard. And the Valyard is supposed to be popping up at some stage in between a couple of regenerations of the Doctor. And they're kind of alluding to something a little in this episode. What if Clara cannot die? That whole interaction at the end there with Danny Pink through the communication device. She does have a bit of a streak of evil, as evidenced by the beginning of the episode, and she does lie, and she's more doctorish than any other companion. What if when she fell into the Doctor's time stream in the tomb, she did actually die, or her body was replaced, or changed into that of the Time Lord, or the Doctor itself, or rather manifested itself as a version of the Doctor in her form? What if the Clara we see now is actually the Valyard? What if Missy chose her specifically for this purpose? What if Missy, aka the Master, has had a long game and aimed to create the Valyard? Doubtful.
Yeah, but with the memories of Clara to sell it, and then yes. she mysteriously struggles going back and forth in good and evil.
Mm-hmm. But,
I see that.
But, however, this, that. This may not be the case at all, and I'll tell you why. Astute fans found a reference on her shelf. All of those post-it notes, there was two that said 3 months on her shelf, which could indicate that Danny may not be coming back and that she's actually pregnant. Who knows? That answer will maybe come to pass in the next episode. We'll find out.
That one would make me less happy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One more question I have. The robot from episode 1, what use would he be as a Cyberman? I'm kind of suspecting a secondary subplot being saved for later here, or maybe the robots that Missy is dragging in are being used as scrap metal to make Cybermen outfits. Who knows? I'm not really sure about this. Also, Gus. Remember Gus? Gus from the Mummy and the Orient Express? No, yes. No Gus in this episode, but he does know the TARDIS's phone number. So is he, she, or it connected with Missy, or is this a new mystery or a new subplot for the future? So that's another thing to think about there. And one last side note, Tom. I've been reading around online, and there's a few people on the internet who believe that Missy is not the Master, saying that she's not to be trusted and she may not be what she says she is. I'm not sure if this is a relevant theory. I don't even think it's really valid myself, because I totally believe Michelle Gomez is a new incarnation of the Master, a.k.a. Missy. But we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, they just said that she was. I don't know why. I don't know what they would gain by reintroducing a character that you're going to have to play catch up on, only to like misdirect someone again
mm-hmm.
to introduce yet another character. Like, I just don't think you would do that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see how it pans out. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's the Master, but I mean. Who knows? I mean, I've been wrong before.
Unless it does turn out to be Clara, some twisted version of Clara that the Master gets in. Then maybe, but probably not. It's still the Master.
Yeah. Well, either way, there's definitely some manipulation going on here, and there's absolutely wonderful work from Moffat. So let's hope he doesn't screw it up with part two. I've got some comments, Tom. First comment comes from Transmit Trev, posted on our last post for In the Forest of the Night. He writes to us and says, after a few patchy episodes and a few buttes, I'm so looking forward to the two-part finale. I thought the kids in the TARDIS were fantastic. Keeping them included is so important, and we adults don't usurp their Saturday night completely. And I have to totally agree with Trev there, because as we mentioned on the last show, Doctor Who did originate as a kid's show, and it's now more of a multi-generational spectacular, but we need to keep the kids included. And I think that's really, really important. So Trev points out a very important thing there. He says, about the Scotsman, although he has hard acts to follow, I think Capaldi has most definitely made the role his own. He's created a wonderful version of the character with layers of complexity, a darker, more mysterious, trippy doctor bringing back gravitas to the old Gallifreyan. So, you know, that's pretty cool. And then finally he says, great comments and speculation, Greg. Some of them quite credible, but you really do need to get out more. Thanks, Trev. And then William McDonald from the Geeks FTW podcast emailed me today with a remark about the latest episode, Dark Water. In the very beginning, there is a production fault, a continuity error of Clara talking to Danny on the phone. There is, when she's talking on the phone, the screen on her phone is clearly saying, Danny calling. So, you know, that a lot of people have picked that up. And apparently this is a screw-up that some fans are really having a bit of difficulty with, not just in this show, but also in other shows across the internet. Across television, the most notable examples being Arrow and The Flash. And people are like, oh, you know, you think they would, you know, fix that. But evidently they have not. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's of any significance. Personally, I thought that was to be... that particular error was probably deliberate on screen, because that section of the show was really Clara's memory before she is shown in the middle of the street looking at Danny's memorial. So who knows? So there you go. Thanks so much, William and Trev, for commenting on the episodes. And of course, if you have a comment for us, folks, you can do it at geeksofdoom.com. Just go to geeksofdoom.com, search for TARDIS Blend there. You'll find our page and go to the latest episode and leave us a remark. Do you agree with our speculations and thoughts and criticisms or not? Or do you have an idea of your own? Let us know. We'll talk about it on the next episode of TARDIS Blend. You got anything else, Tom?
No.
Okay. I do have two classic Doctor Who recommendations. And these are the episodes that were referenced in this particular episode. The first one is the Patrick Troughton episode, The Invasion. This is one of the most remarkable serials from classic Doctor Who. It's black and white. As always, the effects are a little sketchy, but it's an absolute classic, very memorable. One of the episodes is missing, but the BBC outsourced a animation company to complete that missing episode with the existing audio from it, and it's really quite fascinating to watch. So you can find that on DVD, and I suspect that some places around the world that have Netflix, you could probably see it there if it's still available. The other episode, of course, is the Tom Baker episode, The Deadly Assassin. I think this is the first episode where he is solo without companion. So that's well worth checking out. That was the first episode following the departure of Sarah Jane Smith. Worth checking out. Go on, and it's also the debut of The Matrix as well, which I believe was the first ever reference of the concept of virtual reality in science fiction. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it was. You got any recommendations, Tom? Modern Who?
Go back and watch the episode with... Where we find out why the Master is... Why can't I remember the name of this? It was like, for a long time, it was like my favorite one of David Tennant's run. It was right at the end.
Oh, The End of Time?
It could be The End of Time.
Is that the one where he goes to Gallifrey, or...?
Where the Time Lords come back in the red robes and crap.
Yeah, that was The End of Time. Two-part of
End of Time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't watch the second part. Just watch the first part. It was a good...
I don't know. I would recommend both parts, actually, because, I mean, that has a lot of explanation that leads into the Day of the Doctor as well, and that's referenced pretty heavily in this episode, and I'm presuming next episode as well. I'm also getting the feeling or the idea that the next episode will prove to see Missy be some form of major clue to the Doctor as to where to begin his quest for Gallifrey. So two possibilities I see coming up, though, Tom. Either Danny lives and Clara moves on, leaves the TARDIS and goes off into the night with her future husband, and the Doctor has to find a new companion. Or Danny is dead, he doesn't return, and Clara either stays with the Doctor to leave at the Christmas special, or she departs at the end of this season.
I just had a thought, dude.
What's that?
What if at the beginning, when she's talking to him on the phone, she's actually... It's time forwarded. Like, she knows what's going to happen.
I don't know.
And that's why we're seeing all of these different components, because she's having to go through and catch him in the middle of like certain moments, and she can't intersect or she'll cause the paradox.
So you're thinking that Clara working for Missy is orchestrating this, or
I don't know. That? I don't know about that, but I know, like, what if at the end we're seeing all those post-it notes with different adventures that she and the Doctor have had.
Mm.
She's got limited amounts of time where she can intersect to meet with Danny Pink without affecting the timeline and causing a paradox. And so she has to keep track of this.
And maybe she
sees all of her options.
That also presumes that she has forward knowledge of his death.
Yeah.
And that kind of...
No. What I'm saying is at the very beginning, like, you know, Moffat likes to do his camera work and conveniently leave out things here and there, and you know, at the beginning of next episode we might see the exact same scene again to make you think, oh, maybe when we saw her talking to him and it dropped that first time, because you remember it dropped and the music cut out and then it was like almost like they switched the scene.
Yeah,
and we didn't see the post-it notes.
Interesting, interesting. Well, yeah, interesting. Maybe we will. Oh, I did like, I meant to mention this too. Clara's gran, her little appearance in there. I really appreciated that. I thought that was a nice little callback to her family on the Christmas episode, which was pretty cool. Okay, and the other possibility, I like the idea that we speculated about last week, where at the end of the season, Clara goes missing. And so Danny Pink decides to go with the Doctor to find Clara. So it's a double quest where they've got to search for Clara and Gallifrey. Don't know. We'll wait and see. I'd be happy with...
I still like Danny Pink. I hope he doesn't...
Yeah, yeah, I do too. I
like a hell of a lot more to this after this episode than I ever have.
I do too. I think as a male companion, I think Danny Pink would be... superb, because he really, really is a wonderful foil against the Doctor. He really is. He argues with him. He debates things with him.
Clara can't, because she's trying to match and figure out exactly what he's about to say.
Right. He'd be the perfect, like, morality check individual for the Doctor. You know, absolutely. So
we've shown, like, Clara's unhinged. She will do whatever it takes when she sets her mind. Like, she's going to.
Yeah, and this comes back to one of the lines of plot that we were talking about earlier this season, and that is that Clara and the Doctor have been traveling for too long together. She is now becoming more Doctor than he is, and, you know, she should have left the TARDIS well before now. And so we're kind of witnessing what happens to a companion when they've overstayed their welcome in the TARDIS, and they both can't let go. As evidenced by, you know, her betrayal of the Doctor at the beginning of this episode. So I think there's also the possibility that at the end of it all, the Doctor will actually turn to Clara and say, no, I'm sorry, this has to end now. You need to move on with your life, and I need to move on with mine.
He's done that before, though.
Yes. Yes, he has. He's done that before with many companions, and also many companions have chose to go on their own terms. Or there's usually some tragedy that separates them. In some way or form, there's usually different ways of doing it. I got to credit Moffat. He really does think about presenting elements of Doctor Who in very different lights, which I think is important, especially in this day and age. Because not only do you have to please the current and newer fans, but you've also got fans from classic Who eras as well, who, you know, they remember all the old stuff. And that needs to be kind of recognized, and he's doing a good job at that, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, folks, that's all we've got. We will be back here next week to review the finale and give you not only our final score for the final episode of Doctor Who, but we will also give you our total score for the entire season. And that will be interesting to see, because we've had a bit of a mixed batch this season, Tom. You know, we've had some right crackers, but we've also had some terrible farts of episodes as well that were just awful. You know, so, you know, it's going to be a really mixed result, I think. But it should be interesting to see. Tom, where can we catch you on the web, my friend?
You can catch me on the TARDIS Blend next week.
Absolutely, and you can also catch Tom over at VentureBeat.com. For me, you can catch me at BlendOver.com. The latest episode is out now, and you can catch us live Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. And I'm also a part of Heavy Metal Historian over at HeavyMetal666.com. It would be wonderful if you could tune into one of those shows at any time. And of course, you can catch the TARDIS Blend as well as all the cool latest articles over at GeeksOfDoom.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of TARDIS Blend next week. Bye-bye.